lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Hi, everybody. Helping yourself to know how is while you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Doctor on Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. Well, it's hot, it's happening, it's sizzling, and it's Let's Talk Sex time. Welcome to the show. It's a great one with Laurie Bazzocco from Cupid's Pulse and Faye Brennan from Women's Health Magazine. Joining me now is my first guest, Laurie Bazzocco. Laurie is a relationship expert, celebrity journalist, and executive editor of CupidsPulse.com, a first-of-its-kind website that takes the latest celebrity news and repackages it to help singles and couples navigate their love lives. Laurie has interviewed a plethora of celebrities about their own relationships, including Kelly Ripa, Brooke Burke, Wayne Brady, Perez Hilton, Harry Stanger, and dozens of Bachelor contestants and reality stars. Just last week, Wendy Williams gave Laurie a shout-out and asked for her advice surrounding one of her hot topics on the show. Laurie's frequently called upon by the press, and her advice has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Redbook, Good Housekeeping, Cosmopolitan, Women's Day, Working Mother, Parenting, AOL, WebMD, Fox News, Oxygen TV, and The Susie Orman Show, just to name a few. She was also featured in the books No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power, by feminist icon Gloria Felt, and Cheat on Your Husband with Your Husband by Andrea Sirtash. I am delighted to welcome Laurie back to the show once again to share the unlimited wisdom of the Cupid's Pulse community, which also features my shrink wrap blogs on celebrity relationships. And might I say that Laurie is one of my favorite people in the world. She's got sash, she's got talent, she's got guts, and she's here to share all of that with us. So we are lucky to be able to partake of her wisdom. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I can't even believe what a warm welcome. I feel like you make me look so good.
You know what? I do not make you look so good. I simply shine a light on how good you are so that everybody can see it and share in that light. So you really are the quintessential expert when it comes to being single and finding love. You really have your own experience that you went through, that you turned into, not something meaningful for yourself, but for every woman out there who wonders, what about me? When's it going to happen? Will I meet somebody? How do I meet somebody? Where do I meet somebody? So let's start with, it's a new year. We're on the cusp of new year, new goals, new beginnings. What advice do you have for the single women who are out there that are looking for love in the new year?
Well, Jane, that is a very, very good question. I mean, I think, you know, when we're starting the new year, let's give some thought, and I know it might sound cliche, and people have heard this before, but let's give some thought to focusing on yourself for once. You know, the best advice that I can offer is love yourself. And I'm sure you've heard it 100 times, but it's really because it's true. If you love yourself, then others will love you. You know, positivity breeds positivity. So take a moment, you know, even if you're single, don't worry about it. Focus on, what am I going to do this year? What are my goals? Yes, you want to meet somebody. But let's think about how I can better me. Then you would be, it's unbelievable how much you attract by doing that.
You know, you are so right, because the truth of the matter is, by focusing on yourself, you make yourself feel better. Your energy changes into positive energy, and that's what radiates and brings people, attracts people to you. That positivity, that feeling of, huh, she looks interesting, she looks dynamic, she looks like somebody I want to get to talk with and get to know a little bit better. And the more, exactly as you are saying, that you focus on yourself and do that, the more of you that you bring to the equation, which sparks people's interest in you.
Absolutely. You just said it. And you attract really great people into your life, but because you're feeling good anyways, What happens is you're feeling good about yourself, you're attracting people into your life, and even if you attract negativity, you won't go for it because you're feeling too good. So that's a really very important message, that it's, even though it's about yourself, you also, when you're feeling good, you start, you know, really kind of pushing away any negative people that you would be dating maybe in the past or bringing into your life.
Absolutely. You know, one of the people that I work with was telling me a story over the course of time when she was first getting out and about and dating that she really did not want to go to this particular party per se, but, you know, and her friends were saying, oh, don't bother, don't go, it's not a big deal. But she thought, you know what, exactly what you're saying. I think I'll feel better if I get out instead of staying home and feeling sorry for myself that I'm home on a Friday evening. So she gave herself a time where she said, you know, I'll just go for half an hour. And she went to the party, and she met one of her good friends there, and the two of them were just doing their repartee and having fun. And as a result, because she was not looking or searching or striving or wondering, you know, where is the guy, where am I going to meet him, she was just in the moment having a good time with no pressure because she was going to come and go and leave the party. And do I need to complete the story? You know what happened.
Yeah.
So there, along, all of a sudden, along comes a really cute guy who parlays into the conversation, and now she's got this great date set up for the new year. You know, so it goes to show you exactly what you're talking about. Just have fun, put yourself out there, and take the pressure, right? Take the pressure.
Take the pressure off.
Is that easier said than done?
Absolutely. I mean, we all feel this, you know, a wavering pressure on us to, you know, be perfect and always be, you know, looking and wanting to meet Mr. Right. I mean, we grew up with the fairy tales, right, of Disney. All the princesses and all their love stories and tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as little girls, we're constantly, you know, trying to replicate what we believe when we were little and, you know, trying to replicate that in adult life. But honestly, if you do take the pressure off, it just becomes so much more relaxing, and it really, really becomes fun. I mean, fun with yourself and fun with dating. You can actually have a really great time dating different people.
No question about it. So you were just talking about the fairy tales and, you know, the woes and the tragic stuff that can stop things from starting before they begin. Boy, that's a mouthful. What are some of the biggest mistakes that women make when it comes to dating that really can throw a wrench in it and, you know, before the relationship even has a chance, can bring it to a grinding halt?
Well, I would say one of the biggest mistakes that women that I've spoken to or worked with make is that they're focusing on the date in terms of many different factors and elements that ultimately really should not be present on a first date. And what do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're asking themselves as they're sitting across the table, you know, at dinner or drinks or cocktails or wherever they are on their first date, does he like me? Does he like me? Does he like me? They're constantly spinning their wheels thinking, does he like me? I cannot tell you how many times I've spoken to women that after the first date, they say, you know, I don't know if he liked me. I don't know. Well, the question is, do you like him? I mean, that needs to be the question you need to ask yourself. So when you're sitting there on the first date, stop worrying if he likes you. Do you like him? And if you do, ask yourself why. What are the reasons you like him? Are they good reasons? Are they quality reasons? I think that's definitely, I would say, one of the biggest mistakes is that we constantly worry about what the other person is thinking and not worrying about what we feel on that date. Another thing we ask ourselves, at least the women I've spoken to, they're always asking, you know, is he marriage material? And on the first date, you know, they want to get married. They're on the first date. They're an hour into it, half an hour into it, and that's all they're thinking about. You know, I say you just met. Don't even focus on that in the beginning. Focus on having fun. Are you laughing with this person? Do you have mutual interest? Do you have intellectual stimulation? Are you attracted to them? Those are the things you need to be thinking about, and nothing beyond that. So don't overanalyze the situation.
Really, really sound solid at super advice that you're giving, because it really is what you're describing is how you can come out of your self-consciousness and anxiety that can actually wind up making you feel more tense and more restricted and not really at ease and freely flowing, showing your bubbly, energetic personality. If you're sitting there worrying, does he like me, does he like me, does he like me, and can interfere with you just being yourself, whereas what you're describing is so on point. Just be yourself. Just think about, what do I like about him? Do I want to get to know him better? Is he interesting? Is, you know, do I care what he's talking about? Do I feel comfortable being open and being myself? Do I have to hold back what I think? Because I know from talking with young women that the idea of just being open and being oneself is so liberating, and yet just because of what you're saying. People get so wrapped up in their own heads and thoughts, does he like me, does he like me, that you hold yourself back and you sort of lose out on seeing if you're really comfortable with this person, if you even want to get together and go out with them again.
Right, being in the moment.
Yes. And that is something that is so challenging. It seems so easy, and yet it's really everybody's chasing the moment.
Right.
So let's talk about dating when it comes to age. How different is dating now if you're in your 20s than in your 40s? Because I hear from both the younger women and the women, you know, more mid-age, as well as, you know, those who are a little past mid-age, that dating is daunting. I really don't think it matters what age you are, because I think putting yourself out there, meeting somebody, seeing if you click, if there's chemistry and there's reciprocity, is a challenge no matter what the age. But clearly there are some differences. What do people need to know?
There are. There definitely are. It's such a great question. I mean, dating is dating, right? But in your 20s, you definitely have a much different perspective and priority than when you're in your 40s, your 50s. I don't think this comes as a surprise, but in your 20s, looks are definitely one of the top characteristics that women seem to look at. You know, not all women, but overall, that's what turns them on. They want to, you know, they're their attraction. It's like a different type of chemical attraction that happens in your 20s than it does in your 40s. And it's not that, you know, you're not sexually stimulated and attractive to good-looking men. It's just that either priorities switch, and I think the things that you're chemically attracted to in your 20s are not the same things you're attracted to in your 40s. So, you know, I think for women, you know, definitely in their 20s, they're oftentimes, because of that, they can be attracting some bad boys, too, into their life. You know, a lot of women say, God, I dated this, you know, I date all the wrong men. I date, you know, men that are not good for me. And that's because we're allowing that chemical, you know, attraction with physical attraction take over. And I think in their 40, in your 40s now, hopefully, you're not following along that same pattern when you're, you know, as you get older. Some women do, but you're looking for a lot of different things. I mean, you've had probably by 40, you've had, you know, a career, and you've had some success, or maybe not, but you have more independence. So you're looking
right
now for somebody who has stability, intellectual conversation, stimulation, you know, in terms of, like, you know, engagement. And, you know, you're also looking for how that man treats you. Is he loyal? And, you know, does he treat you with respect? So I think those are very important. Again, it's not black and white. It's not that women in their 20s don't look for those things, too, but it's just a much different shift in priority when you're in your 40s.
No question about it. You know, I want to take the opportunity to ask you a question and get your opinion to weigh in on it, because I hear this from a lot of the women that I'm working with when it comes to dating. And, you know, it's the new age. Women and men run fairly equal in many ways, in many respects. And so does this fall under the umbrella of equality, or does this fall under the umbrella of selfish and watch out, ladies, because you're dealing with a guy who isn't going to be literally putting himself out for you? And that is, a lot of the guys on the first date, and I hear this over and over, arrange it for their own creature comforts. Now, here in New York City, for those who are dating in the city, to get to the other side of town, to get downtown, if you're uptown, to get uptown, if you're downtown, you're looking at a good half an hour, 45 minutes, easy. And the guys are setting up dates at restaurants that are by them, or come to my apartment, we'll hang out and watch a movie and go out to dinner. That, I mean, it's not just one, two, three, I'm hearing this from so many women, that the women are kind of getting their backs up, they're working, why do I have to go all the way across town, why do I have to pay, you know, travel, transportation, cab fare, train fare, bus fare. What do you think about that? When it comes to dating in today's age, where should the first date be? Is that a sign if the guy is saying, you know, well, come on across town repeatedly? One guy was talking about, well, you know, I've got my dog, I want to walk my dog, so I want to be closer to home. But, all right, you know, one or two times, but you know what? If your whole life is constructed and believe me, I'm a dog lover and, you know, have never been without a dog, so I totally get it. But by the same token, you need to balance your life. If your whole life is constructed around your convenience, what about walking your dog and then taking a bus or a train to go out and have an evening out so that you're not bringing everybody to your space? What do you think?
I have so much to say about that.
Yay!
A lot. I'm trying to remember all my thoughts. No. Well, the first question is, what age are we talking about? We're talking about men of all ages. That's the problem. And it does go back to the 20 versus 40.
I'm talking men from 20 to 45.
Because
that's what the women are hitting now.
So here's the thing. We've got the whole millennial situation, right, and dating, which is very different than someone my age in my mid-40s, right? Definitely very different. These millennial men and women, they experience things and date in a very different way. I mean, actually, to be honest, I somewhat feel bad for the millennial men because they, you know, they're still men and, like, you know, inside their core they want to, you know, treat women probably the right way, but women are so now defined by their career and success that I think these guys don't know what to do. Like, I honestly think a lot of them that I've spoken to, they don't know what to do. They don't know if they should let, you know, the equality factor reign and hold true. They don't, you know, a lot of women don't like men that, you know, do everything for them. They see it as, ooh, a sign of weakness. It's a really tough thing, I think, for millennial men. In terms of what you were saying about meeting, you know, men wanting to meet near them, I think that's a total cop-out. I think that's not on the first date. No way. If you want to meet in a mutual location, fine. Because you don't know the person, perhaps, and you don't really know, you know, if you're going to like them or whatnot. Meeting in a mutual place, fine. But I don't know if I would continue to date or want to date a man who always was very selfish about not bringing himself forward. And I don't think that has to do with the equality thing. I just think it has to do with the personality.
I'm delighted to hear you say that. You're absolutely making such a great point. One of the gals, I remember she was saying, so he choreographed it to meet like a half an hour downtown by his work, and then at the last minute, here she is all the way out of her comfort zone, having extended herself, put herself out there downtown, and then suddenly he had an urgent work meeting or something, if in fact that's the truth, and cancel the date. You know, and so it's one thing if a date is going to be cut short, but it's another thing if it's cut short and you've really been...
Went out of your way?
Inconvenienced, absolutely.
I honestly would be careful and stay away. I mean, I can think of two examples. I remember I met a guy online, and he lived in St. Louis, and I was, literally, we're just talking online, and I had a business meeting in Chicago. I mean, the guy actually drove from St. Louis to Chicago to meet me. So, and we didn't even know each other to go on a date.
Right.
So, you know, that's a guy that, you know, you want to take interest in, somebody that has respect for you and, like, doesn't ask you to, oh, just come out this way, you know, go a little further. And my own husband, the person that I married, he lived outside of I lived in Manhattan and he lived in Brooklyn. He has a dog two dogs at the time that he very much loved. And not only did he meet me in Manhattan, he literally picked me up at I think the first day was at my either office or my building. He picked me up. He was, you know what I mean? He was respectful.
Yes,
He didn't ask me to meet him somewhere. And he continued to do those things. And I don't know. A lot of times women, again, they feel like, ooh, what is he doing? It's too, I don't know. For some reason, some women don't like nice men. I don't know.
Right. And I agree. And to me, well, as a therapist, I'm so happy to hear you saying this as a dating expert, because as a therapist, I analyze it and say to the women that I'm speaking with, you know what, this is really indicative of a personality and their unwillingness to literally extend themselves, to go out of their way, to consider your needs, to think about what's going to make it easier for you. This is about their creature comforts. This is about making life streamlined for themselves, and whatever does or doesn't work for you, you're really an afterthought. You're not the main part of the equation, like your husband coming from Brooklyn to the city to make sure that you know that he's there to pick you up and formally date you in a respectful way.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that I haven't had my fair share of men like the ones you're speaking about, but when you do really think about the bigger picture and you really do start loving yourself, you will only want to date men that respect you and care for you. And I have to say, you know, we all talk about the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. Well, if I would say, hey, honey, if this guy is not meeting you and being respectful to you on the first date, and that's the first date, what do you have to look forward to? especially for the future.
You said it, boy. Where's it going to go? So in your experience, from the many women that you've worked with, you said it before, the bad boys. If a woman goes out with a guy that is disrespectful, selfish, thoughtless, call it what you want, why do they go out again? What is it that makes it okay? Is it the fact that they're so attracted? Is it that they want this guy to really find them interesting and attractive as well? Why say yes again when you've already felt disrespected, where they've canceled on you or stood you up or didn't call or ran late or made you come all the way out? I mean, all the whole list of thoughtless, inconsiderate behaviors. Why do they do it?
You know, that's really a question for a therapist like you, but.
I'm asking the dating expert.
No, but what I would say to that in trying to put my, you know, therapy hat on is that a lot of times there's probably something underlying, you know, and I hate to, like I said, I hate to go into the whole therapy because I'm not a therapist, but it is something underlying that's probably that they have to probably get to the core of the reasoning for why they would want to date somebody that disrespects them. Maybe it has to do with their past or their upbringing, or, you know, it could have to do with their own self-esteem. They feel that, wow, if this bad, how do I get, like, it's a challenge. How do I get this bad boy to like me? Or he's a bad boy. Well, if he doesn't like me, how would a good guy like me? This reverse psychology where they think, well, if I can get the bad guy to like me, then good guys will like me too. Or I can, you know, if I can make him like me, I've overcome some challenge or obstacle that they have in their own deeper seated root of their, you know what I mean? Their experiences.
Very interesting. Well, the obstacle that we have to overcome at the moment is a commercial. So we're going to go and take it. We'll be back in just a minute at the Let's Talk Sex Show at HealthyLife.net. Stay with us.
HealthyLife.net. Where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to the Let's Talk Sex Show at HealthyLife.net. My guest is Cupid Pulse Executive Editor Lori Bazoko, one of my favorite people in the world. You can find more from her on Twitter at Lori Biz, B-I-Z-Z, or her website, www.LoriBazoko.com. So now let's talk about... We were talking before about the bad boys and trying to overcome that, and how do you recraft your checklist and get points and qualities that you're looking for in a guy that are reasonable and realistic so that you don't feel like you're settling, comma, and that you're not continually, repeatedly dating a guy that's going to just mistreat you or treat you badly?
Well, that's an interesting question because I actually, I am, you know, from my own self-experience, I had been dating a bad guy for quite some time, several years, and always fell into that place where I was always dating men that just either they weren't available, they didn't treat me respectfully, and I made a decision that one year, I made a decision that I am going to clean slate. It was the new year, just like it's happening right now, actually. And I made a decision January 1st, everything in my life, when it comes to dating, I'm going to change. What does that mean? It seems like a very big statement to make, but it was a very slow process. What I did was first, I had a checklist of the kind of guy I wanted, you know, what he looked like, what he did for a living. I mean, it was all in a box. And I made a decision to throw away my checklist. I should back up. That's actually not true. I'm sorry. What I did first was start loving myself, actually. The first thing that I had mentioned to your listeners was focus on myself. That was January, probably the first 6 months of the year.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do, just quickly, like a short list?
Everything from just focusing on my work, maybe not going out so much. I would go out with my friends. We'd go to dinner. We'd have lots of drinks. Like, I just wanted to get healthy. I mean, everything from, you know, taking up, like, a new hobby. I always loved acting. I put myself in a healthy acting class after work. Went to the gym a lot. Went back to church, you know. Just did things that just spiritually made me feel good, physically made me feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, work. I worked in Manhattan. Work can consume you. I tried to make conscious decisions to leave the office at 6 o'clock at least a couple days a week. You know, that's very challenging, but it really puts puts your mind in a different perspective. You can't believe how much you can get done when you're leaving the office at a decent hour.
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard.
So but you were respecting yourself, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I was also the first, I would say, six to seven months of the year, I was also not focusing on meeting anybody, which is very interesting. I didn't focus on meeting someone. That became my focus for so many years that I was like, no, I'm focusing on me. I don't care. If it happens, it happens. I'm focusing on me. And I would say probably around the summertime, I made a decision, you know what? I am almost ready to start, like, really going out there actively pursuing dating again, asking people to set me up, going online to meet people. And it wasn't that I didn't date at all those first 6 months, but it just was not the focus. Like, it just wasn't. But when I was ready, I made a decision. If I'm going to actively start dating again, then I need to rethink the way I date. So what I did was now this is where the checklist came in. I had a checklist of all the things that I was looking for in somebody. You know, I wanted to have a guy that lived in Manhattan just because I lived in Manhattan. I wouldn't date outside the boroughs. Like, it's ridiculous. Outside the boroughs is ridiculous. And I just started dating people that, and you know, that lived all over. This is where the St. Louis guy came in and went to meet him. I didn't care. I said, there's nothing holding me down. I can get a job anywhere. Why am I limiting myself? What if I meet somebody in Colorado? I mean, I don't know. And wow, what opportunity there is if I go outside my box. So I got rid of my checklist. It doesn't mean I got rid of my deal breakers. Like, you know, I wanted to make sure that they had good morals and ethics and all that, but got rid of things that were silly. Like, oh, he's too short. You know, he has to be, you know, X feet tall, or he, you know, I don't like the way he matched his clothes. Like, silly, like things that aren't real deal breakers, you know?
And what did you shift your sights to that mattered more than that?
I'm sorry. In terms of the men?
Yeah.
So I honestly didn't. I opened myself up to dating outside of my type. I thought I had a type. I thought he had to look and feel and be this way. And I just dated nice men. I just dated people that I thought were respectful. You know, listen, they didn't. I wasn't going to date someone I wasn't attracted to, but it didn't have to be this, you know, the looks that I had always thought I wanted. You know, someone that was a good-looking person, very nice, had maybe a good career, respectful. And honestly, when I started loving myself, got rid of my checklist, and opened myself up, I never, ever before have dated like three guys at a time. Like, literally, men were coming into my life. It was like something I've never seen before.
So your energy changed.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes. And I remember I was dating one guy who was about 8 years younger, one guy who just got out of a marriage. So I think he was separated, on the verge of divorce. And I remember dating these two men, and I remember my girlfriends saying to me, because they knew that I had gone through this, like, metamorphosis, that I was cleaning myself up and, you know, really opening myself. And I remember when I was dating these two men, and they were very respectful dates. They'd pick me up, they'd take me to dinner. It was very respectful. And we dated, you know, I dated both of them for, you know, maybe a couple months each. And at the same time. And my girlfriend said, wait a minute, you're looking for Mr. Right, or you want to date and meet somebody. Why are you dating somebody who's 10 years younger, and why are you dating somebody who just got out of a marriage? I mean, those are like, aren't those red flags? And I said, but it doesn't mean I'm going to marry them. That's not my thought right now. My thought is to experience dating, have fun with dating, have fun with loving myself.
Wow.
And have fun with them loving me and showing me, you know, I'm being fed emotionally. They're not going to be my marriage guys, but someone is, and they're teaching me.
That is such great advice. I'm telling you, live it, breathe it, and pass it on, because so many women, exactly what you're describing, are dating somebody or starting, you know, going out on that first date with the hope, expectation, and fantasy life of, are you going to be my husband? You're saying is, forget about worrying who he's going to be, just enjoy yourself and let yourself feel attractive and desired and find out what you like and what's important and let it just evolve. Let it be organic and be in the moment. Yes?
It really will work. Yes, it really will work.
Well, Lori, I have to thank you for such an informative, enlightening, and wise conversation with all your hands-on dating advice. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I would love to be on again. This is so much fun.
Absolutely. You will be definitely coming back because I know our listeners are already waiting in bated breath for more juicy tips. And listeners, be sure to follow Lori on Twitter at Lori Biz or her website, www.loribizoco.com. And when we come back, Faye Brennan from Women's Health Magazine will be joining us. Stay with us. You're listening to the Let's Talk Sex Show at HealthyLife.net.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Let's Talk Sex Show at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and my next guest is Faye Brennan. Faye is the Sex and Relationships Editor at Women's Health Magazine. She's responsible for writing, editing, and assigning all relationship and sex-related content, as well as feature packages for the print and iPad editions. Faye is also the one who interviews the celebrities for the What Men Think column, and edits several front-of-book staples as well. She is the Girl Down the Hall relationship columnist and co-host of the Guy vs. Girl online video series. Prior to her role at Women's Health, Brennan was the senior associate editor at Tango Media, senior editor at Betty Confidential, and the founder and editor-in-chief of M Magazine, a student-run publication at her alma mater, Emerson College. She's appeared on national and local TV, including PIX Morning News, New York Live, and Better TV, and we're delighted to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us on the Let's Talk Sex Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we got a lot to cover because it's the holidays, and everybody thinks holidays fun, great time, but how do you make sure that the holidays and all the activity, fanfare, and stress that come with them don't interfere with your sex life?
Yes, I feel like this is a very common problem for a lot of couples because we often associate the holidays with stress. I mean, you're seeing family for the first time in a while, maybe you're running around, you know, buying holiday gifts. So it seems like there's not a lot of one-on-one time that you can have with your partner. But I think that finding at least one night where it could just be two of you, so whether or not that's New Year's Eve and you decide not to have plans this year, or it's the day before Christmas Eve and before all your family is coming into town, just find one night where it could just be you and your partner, and you would want to plan a fun activity. So whether that's going outside, if it's snowing by you, you can go sledding or ice skating. If you're here in New York, you could, you know, go see the Rockefeller Center tree. Just do something to get the blood pumping and not sitting down watching TV, so you're up and out together. I think that boosts, well, I know that that boosts these really feel-good hormones in your body that are going to up your connection to each other and also your arousal for each other, and that will make it much more likely that you'll find yourselves back in the bedroom, and that should hopefully last you through for the holidays until it's all said and done, you guys, and your lives can get back to normal.
Right. So do you think if people underrate how important it is to have the quality time that you're describing, that you really, you don't realize that when you put that in place, it's a way to foster intimacy, connect emotionally, spiritually, and ultimately sexually, and that, you know, a lot of times people just brush it aside and say, oh, well, we don't have time for that now, and from exactly what you're describing, are not aware that by brushing their time together aside, they are also sort of pushing aside that link of intimacy.
Yes, absolutely. I think that many couples just think that if it's going to happen, it'll happen without any effort or without them planning ahead, and that's where we fall into that trap of being like, oh my God, it's been a couple days or weeks and we haven't been intimate at all. And that is just being mindful of how important it is to just take a few moments out of the day to connect and without any other distractions, to forget about your to-do list and, you know, all the things that you and him have to do as a couple and just being like, hey, let's take a second to bring it back down to us and what we can help each other with. And most often, more times than not, that's going to be, you know, getting some emotional support from each other and then also some physical support as well.
Right. I love what you said about, you know, people thinking that it's just going to happen and they don't have to put effort into it. But you really do have to put effort into it, because it's just as important as the first date, ultimately, which required tremendous effort, you know.
Right.
And you really have to be willing to continue to make that effort for yourself and the relationship. So let's talk about hooking up. If you're with your partner and you're at his parents' place, what do you think about hooking up there? Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Is it like, oh, it ramps things up and, you know, makes it a little bit naughty as opposed to nice but fun?
Yes. So here's my rule for that. I feel like your number one concern is always to respect the parents and the family and to make sure that they feel as comfortable as possible. And usually they'll kind of help you determine how they feel about that whole situation. So if they put you in separate rooms, don't have sex. Like, it's clear that there's some boundaries that the parents don't want you to step over, so you need to respect their wishes. But if they're putting you in the same room and you're there for over a week, I feel like it's going to be bound to happen, and that's okay. But to me, I think an even safer bet is to find a way to even spend 2 hours or an afternoon outside of the house. You know, ask your guy if he can take you on a tour of his hometown. So maybe you can do it in the car or something. Something outside of under their roof is always a safe bet.
So in other words, if the parents are really keeping the boundaries by keeping you apart rather than letting them kind of dominate the quality of your relationship, find a way to connect that's appropriate and respectful so that you're not trying to be naughty where it's going to be in their face.
Right, absolutely.
Makes great sense. Well, speaking of naughty, are there naughty holiday gifts? Is that something that's a good idea to get your partner, or is that like, uh-oh, you got them something naughty and now they feel self-conscious or guilty because maybe they feel inhibited and they don't want to use it? What do you think about that?
I think that they can be a great idea. Like if he buys you lingerie or you even get him some bedroom accessories, they're a great idea if sex is something that you two regularly talk about outside of the bedroom, because then it's a natural gesture and it doesn't feel like it's coming out of left field. Whereas for other couples who don't tend to talk about, you know, anything they do in the bedroom outside of it, a gesture like lingerie or toy could be totally misinterpreted. And then, yes, then you may run into hurt feelings, total confusion, being like, what? Like,
right.
Am I not good enough for you?
Like, oh, you said it.
It can totally backfire. So my thought is, if you have to think twice about what their reaction to the gift is going to be, go with something else.
Right. Make sure you have a discussion with them about it beforehand. Then you can always choose the time and the occasion to surprise them, but not to shock them, not to have it be a shock completely to their system. So now, speaking of shocking, what about the holiday party hookup? We were talking about the parents, but if you're at a holiday party, is that, you know, and suddenly the guy that you've had a crush on or you've sort of been, you know, kind of jonesing on for a while, and is that really out of your element to hook up there? Is it going to be too much of a shock to the working arena or to other people? And what's the best way to go about it?
Right. I think for as far as work holiday parties, it's a slippery slope. I think that you should always have the forethought to be like, okay, what is this going to be like on Monday morning? And how gossipy are my coworkers? If you're in an atmosphere in your office, it's just everyone talks about everyone else and drama, and, you know, or it's your boss that you may be considering. Absolutely not. I say, stay clear of the holiday hookup at the party. But if it's not an office party, yeah, why not? Go for it.
Okay, well, speaking of going for it, we're going to go for a commercial. We'll be back in just a minute with more of the Let's Talk Sex show here at HealthyLife.net. Stay with us.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Let's Talk Sex Show at HealthyLife.net. My guest is Faye Brennan, Sex and Relationships Editor at Women's Health Magazine. You can find more from her on Twitter at Women's Health Mag or check out www.womenshealthmag.com. So now, Women's Health recently did an in-depth three-part series on sex ed, all the things you need to know. So, wow, let's talk about all those things you need to know, some of the things that were featured in the issues.
Okay, so this was one of the most fun series I've ever had to work on. And, like, not only were the topics fun, but they were super important. And I felt like a lot of the women that I speak to and my friends, they didn't know this basic information. And I feel like it's my job and our job at Women's Health to make sure that that's no longer the case. So our first topic that we dove into was libido and the female libido, how it's, you know, a very interesting and fascinating and complex system that actually has a lot to do with the brain and much less so to do with downstairs. I mean, that stuff still counts, but first and foremost, arousal starts in the brain. So we actually, it was perfect timing because that female arousal drug, Addy, was just approved this past August, and it's the first FDA-approved drug for helping women who suffer from low libido. So we actually interviewed a woman who was involved in the clinical trials for the drug, and she explained to us her experience on it. It's like a daily pill that she would take at nighttime, and she found that she was having more thoughts about sex, and that led to more frequent sex with her husband. But the drug isn't like Viagra for men. It doesn't work on blood flow to the genitals. This is a drug that works on neurotransmitters in the brain that haven't been firing correctly and correcting that so that women can get mentally turned on. And then that, of course, leads to arousal downstairs, and then everything is good to go. So that was just super interesting to hear from someone who's been on it. But, of course, beyond that in the story, we also touched on other things such as, you know, reading erotic novels or watching, you know, X-rated videos, and how for some women that, like, really does the trick for them. It gets them really turned on and helps with their sex life.
Fascinating. So it really is, you know, it ties right into foreplay and the importance of foreplay in terms of not just the soft, tender, slow hand touch, but the thoughts, the, you know, the sensations, the anticipation, the thinking, the reading, all the things that turn you on mentally and help you visually and mentally get aroused carry over into the physical excitement.
Exactly.
Interesting. So then what else came in the series?
So next up was a big package all about orgasms.
And oh, do tell.
So we believe that more women would be having orgasms if they understood their anatomy as women. And there were studies that came out that found that a lot of women didn't even know where their clitoris was, and that to us is like super important knowledge because it is the pleasure center for a ton of women. So our series really laid it all out for you, so you knew exactly what you were working with. And then beyond that, we gave some really great tips for strengthening your pelvic floor muscles, which help with the contractions you have during orgasm. And then there was also a bunch of other tips that, again, went back to the mind and getting the mindset ready for pleasure. And a lot of that has to do with making sure you're super turned on before and during sex with your partner so that reaching the big finale is more likely, but then also not feeling so bad about it if it doesn't happen, because a lot of times it doesn't happen and that's totally okay.
Well, that's a big thing. So how important is it to have an orgasm for women in the sex ed issues that you covered? Do the men feel more disappointed and more upset if a woman is not climaxing, or does the woman feel more distressed that she's not having an orgasm? And how, just like what you're saying, how important is it to each sexual experience for the orgasm to happen?
I think it's kind of a cycle. I mean, there's guilt coming from the woman's side and the men's side, and if it's not talked about, then it could kind of, you know, repeat itself and become this really problematic thing where there's so much pressure to finish, but it's coming from both sides, but both sides don't really know why there's so much pressure around it, because in actuality, when you go back to how men and women are biologically wired, men need to have an orgasm because that's how they make babies.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, we don't necessarily need to have one. So I think it's a matter of A, making sure that both partners understand that, and then B, kind of switching the habits to make sure that that's not the focus and that the experience itself and having pleasure in that is more the end goal.
So, very quickly before we go to commercial, is it important to talk about STDs if you're going to hook up with somebody ahead of time?
Absolutely. I feel like there's so many STD epidemics and super bugs happening these days that a conversation about it is absolutely crucial. It can be super easy before you get in the bedroom. Just say, hey, the last time I was tested was in October. It was all clear. I just need to know your test results before we do this thing. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. So be responsible. If you're if you're going to be involved, do it in a responsible way so you take care of yourself. Well, on that note of responsibility, we're going to take a break. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute at the Let's Talk Sex Show here at HealthyLife.net.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Well, Faye, thank you so much for such a fascinating conversation on holiday romance and sex education.
Oh, you got it. Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
It's a pleasure, and we're going to definitely look forward to you coming back and sharing more of your women's health wisdom on sex and what women want to know in the new year. And that's it for today. Join me next week for a special encore episode. Stay in touch with me off the air at my Facebook page and on Twitter at Dr. Jane Greer. And thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.